everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gigax, and I'm here with Michael Brazemley.
Hi, everyone.
And it is our last podcast before the election. So we're recording this on Monday, September 29th, right?
Yes.
2025. And this will be released on Tuesday, and our election is on Wednesday.
Yep.
And oh my God, it is getting nerve-wracking.
Really close.
It is getting really close, yeah. So we've been hearing encouraging words mm-hmm. from people who are usually silent or people who don't really keep in touch with us. And that's encouraging, but it's still who knows. Like,
yep.
We were talking about when's the last time a challenger won in our branch. And it's basically...
And that's our goodest, oldest boy.
Yeah, it was. You get a little mm-hmm. closer there.
Yeah.
Or maybe point the mic up. So... Yeah, it was, as far as we can tell, the goodest, oldest boy. That was like almost 30 years ago. And so...
Well, I don't know about 30 years ago.
At least 20.
So it's close, yeah.
So I've been at the post office 19 years, mm-hmm. and it predates me.
Right.
So basically, in branch memory,
oh,
for
yeah.
almost everybody in the branch, we've never had a challenger win.
Yeah, and he's still as our secretary.
Yeah, he's still hanging on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why it turns out that our labeling of him as the goodest, oldest boy is mm-hmm. pretty accurate.
Yes.
That did not just come out of nowhere. Yeah, because it all kind of started with him. So anyway, but that's not really, I mean, we do want to talk about that, but we'll come back and talk about election stuff toward the end of the episode, because we actually have some educational stuff to get to, a couple of corrections, and some content. So I've been hearing from at least a couple of people like, hey, I love the election. Most people say, hey, I love the election stuff. Keep us posted. But every once in a while, people be like, you know, could use a little more education. And mm-hmm. that is ostensibly the purpose of the podcast. So, all right, I have a couple corrections to make first from previous mailbag episodes. They're not major, but...
This I don't know about.
No, you don't. Okay. But it's okay. Again, they're not major. So I want to thank listeners Mike P., Mark I., and Eric C., for all correcting me on the move left no address is still on the scanner. I think it's just because I'm in a residential neighborhood that doesn't turn over very often anymore. And so I haven't used it in a long time. And so I kind of forgot about it. But it is option N in the scanner, and it is usable even when you're out on the street. And so move left no address, just as a reminder, is if that person does not receive mail there anymore, you can put in a move left no address for them, go to option N in your scanner, or use a 3575Z when you're in the station. And the PARS system that automatically forwards people's mail will automatically pick out that mail and return it to sender. And
well, here's a question on that.
You go for it.
When you come back to the station, where mm-hmm. do you put it?
Oh, that's a great question. So if you mark it as move left no address, there is no carrier endorsement for move left no address. So you can either put it in attempted not known, which is where I would put it,
yeah.
because that's what that is. But the nice thing about move left no address is if you put it into the forwarding system, into CFS, that'll return it to sender also. So it's a really good, useful tool. And then on top of that, mailers get that information, and when they update their mailing list, they're going to take that name off their mailing list because now they know for sure that's not a valid address anymore. So move left no address, good stuff. And again, thanks to those folks for reminding me that it is still on the scanner. The other thing that is still on the scanner is the change of address update, but it's only on the scanner in the office. And so you can go to option C, I think it is, whatever it is on your scanner, but only when you're on office time and only for like the first hour in the morning, and you can do your COA update right there. And one of the people who wrote in to me said that it was because the union made the argument, and they got this from, according to the writer, they got this from Chris Jackson, the director of city delivery, that the union made the argument that the change of address stuff is an office function, which is true. It is. You're supposed to be dealing with your COAs while you're in the office. And so like checking your PINT cards, your 3982s, that's all done in the office. And so for the carrier to have that out on the street, it's taking away office time and work that the carrier should be doing at the case. And we're really fighting for every second of office time these days. And so that's why it got taken out as a street function. If you're unsure about mail, you should be bringing it back to the case and then checking your pink cards and seeing if there is a forward for that person. So consider that a victim in the fight over office times. All right. So with that out of the way, the corrections out of the way, we may have been wrong about other things, but I don't have them in the mailbag at the moment. So that'll do. So
it's not too bad.
No, it's not. These are pretty minor. Mm-hmm. And they go back to like that episode I had, scanner features nobody told you about. And then things have changed on the scanner since then. So it needed to be updated anyway. Okay. So let's move on. I got a couple of really interesting emails that I want to discuss with Michael. And so you guys get to listen in on that. And these are very good emails, which, so I'm going to read
which
it.
Is something Alan has not told me about.
No, I told you this morning we talked on the phone. I gave you a little preview about it. Yeah, there's other ones in the next episode that you probably haven't heard about. Okay, so I'm going to read this email. And Mike, feel free to interrupt anytime. All right, here we go. And I'm going to try not to have any identifying information on here. This person writes, I am torn and frustrated at the situation at my station. We have many carriers, CCA, PTF, and full-time regulars, who are either injured or on some sort of FMLA hourly restriction. Our local postmaster has tried to hire more CCAs, but they are only allowed to hire a few here and there, so as a result, the carriers who are not on restrictions are mandated or forced to work overtime nearly every day. Okay, so right here, there's already something in here that we need to get into, which is our local postmaster has tried to hire more CCAs, but they're only allowed to hire a few here and there. Who makes that decision, Michael?
That'll be the post office.
That is right. That is postal management's decision to make. And in our contract under Article 3, they have the exclusive right to hire. That also means they have the exclusive responsibility to hire.
It is their sole right to staff.
Right. Staffing is their responsibility. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
That's not our job.
No, that is not. If we could fix it, we would.
Yeah.
But we can't.
Right.
Right. Okay. So let's move on.
So when they don't have enough people to cover those people,
right?
It's not our problem.
No, that's management's problem. And dude, this is something that Karev said when I interviewed him, or maybe it was in his platform that I really like, is management is failing in their Article 3 responsibility. Mm-hmm. And when management fails at it, the carriers get hurt by it.
Yes. They'll try to blame it on us.
Yeah. Well, and we're forced to pick up the slack for their failing to properly staff. And that's ethically wrong.
Yeah. And then with that, they also try to punish carriers in the meantime when they can do what they want.
Yeah. And they try to turn carriers against each other, which is where the rest of this email is going. So the author goes on. Here is where I am torn. I understand that management is to blame for not hiring. All right, so that's good. There you go. But at what point is there some blame to be given to the carriers who constantly call off on a Saturday, a Monday, or on a day after a holiday?
Okay, first of all, you don't blame it on any of the carriers, okay? Because you don't know their personal business.
Yeah, you don't know their situation.
Okay? It could be Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You don't know if they have a health concern, whatever it is. You don't know. Because that email said that some people have FMLA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And you have to do the paperwork to get that.
Yes.
Maybe they have a loved one who gets dialysis on Fridays. Mm-hmm. And so you take that person.
Right.
And that is personal. That's your whole day. Yeah. Exactly. And that's personal. It's none of your business.
Mm-hmm. And so the only issue is the management, are they going to cover for that? So here's the thing is the management likes to use saying, try to blame it on another carrier, but they know that there's more mail on Mondays, okay, because it's after a Sunday.
Right.
So they should be bringing more people anyway.
They should. Okay. It's true. If they're mandating continuously, and this is something else Karev said that I really liked, then part of an Article 3 grievance should be, or an Article 8 grievance, if they keep making it, is cite Article 3 and force management to hire more people.
They're failing to properly staff.
Right. If they're mandating, that's a failure on management.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, so it goes on. We have a lot of the same carriers who call off a lot, knowing that when they do, the carriers who do show up are stuck with extra work that we don't want. Carriers who call off knowing a third bundle is sitting at their case the night prior, and they don't want to deliver it, so someone else will deliver it when they call off. Younger carriers calling off, then posting on social media that the parties they've attended the night prior, or posting videos or pics of them at the beach or some other activity while I'm at work carrying half their route on top of my full route.
Okay. Well, first of all, it's none of your business what they do in the previous day.
Okay? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and So if they got drunk or whatever it is, that's what happens. It's part of life.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
I'm not going to say I've never called in hungover right. before.
But basically from the email, what he's saying is that they actually do come to work. They just don't work as hard because they might be semi-drunk or get a hangover.
I mean, he's talking about people calling in completely. Oh, you know, they see that they have a third bundle, okay. So I don't want to work on ad day or
but
whatever.
Again, would you rather have somebody who's half drunk come to work and be dangerous to themselves?
Sure.
You know, so yeah, I'd rather have them stay home and recuperate because it's part of life. Some of us do that.
Okay? Right. And sick leave is an earned benefit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take another stance here, which is, whose responsibility is it to make sure that carriers aren't abusing their sick leave?
Exactly. That is management's responsibility.
That's exactly
not
right.
Not us.
Right. And so don't step in and try to do management's job for them in turning against other carriers.
It is management's job to prove that the carrier's abusing the sick leave program. They have to prove it.
That is exactly right.
And so if they are failing to prove it, then it's not the carrier's fault. Okay. And you blame it on Article 3. They're not properly staffing the carriers. You can blame it on saying that, hey, you know, you knew how much mail's coming. Because, you know, I guarantee that if everybody called in sick, they wouldn't be delivering mail, right?
Right, right.
And so it's happening occasionally, not every Monday, not every Saturday. It feels like there's people calling because you might have a John Smith calling one day, and then another day could be Susan Smith called another day. It looks like you're missing a person every Monday, but it's probably not true.
That may be, right? Mm-hmm. Because management does issue discipline for that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know at my station when we were mandating for a while earlier in the summer that I would come in the morning and I would just see that there are 10 routes down on this split board. And, yeah, I didn't really know if it's the same routes every day. But the carrier, the person who wrote to us goes on to address some of the things that we're talking about here. They write, I've been told and have heard if they have sick or annual, then that's their time. I've heard that maybe they are having personal issues. I've heard a lot of things. But when I see posts, when they know we are in a tough manning situation and when they have no restrictions, I have a difficult time not laying some blame on my fellow carriers.
What restrictions?
Like an 8-hour restriction, for example. Okay. Like if they don't have restrictions on when they could come to work mm-hmm. or, you know, I don't know. But again, this speaks to that mentality mm-hmm. where management, instead of taking the responsibility on themselves mm-hmm. and addressing the actual problem.
They're trying to blame it on
carriers.
They're
trying to blame it on carriers. Yeah, that's exactly right. Their own failing is being blamed on carriers.
Yeah, here's the thing too is, you know, some of these carriers, you know, they've been overworked for so many years. They started to have back problems, they could have leg problems, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so doctors are telling them, saying, hey, you can't work overtime anymore because you need to work about 8 hours a day.
Right, you got
to
protect yourself.
So you're also following doctor's orders.
Yeah, so that gets into the next paragraph. We also had a steward who coached or advised new younger carriers that if they didn't want to work overtime or be forced to work overtime, to go get an FMLA hourly restriction. This was confirmed by several carriers as well as my local union president. This does not sit well with me at all and clearly pisses me off. So my feeling on that part is we already have a contract. Where people who don't want overtime are not supposed to be forced into overtime. On the last episode of Fight Like Hell, Brian Renfro's podcast, he talked about Article 8. And he says, you know, the whole purpose behind why Article 8 was introduced was to protect carriers who didn't want to work overtime. And it's galling to hear that coming from him because now Article 8 is being used to work people to death.
Right.
But the point is, the contract is supposed to protect the carriers who want to actually have a work-life balance. When that doesn't happen, the union is supposed to be protecting carriers who want to have that work-life balance.
So here's the thing, too, is if the steward is telling a CCA to get FMLA, maybe because the CCA has a health problem.
That may be. Okay? That the writer doesn't know about.
Or family has a health problem that the CCA has to take care of. Okay. Either way, you know, you have to get approval for FMLA.
Right. It still has to be doctor
approved. And you have to work
a
certain amount of hours a year to be qualified for that FMLA.
That is true.
So, you know, even if the steward tells the CCA that, hey, you should get FMLA, they still have to get qualified. Okay.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point.
And so
Right, and she's, a doctor restriction, yeah. The eight-hour restriction has to come from a doctor.
Yeah, all that has to come from somewhere.
Right,
you just can't do it just to get it.
Yeah. So my take on that is, and again, this is all under the umbrella of we protect carriers.
Mm-hmm.
So the contract's supposed to protect the carrier, and it's not working. The union is supposed to protect the carrier, filing grievances, stop management from doing that. That's not working. You're still being mandated. At this point, the carrier begins protecting themselves and doing what they have to do to maintain that work-life balance, you know, to not just give their life over to the post office and to be like a whole person, not just a carrier.
Well, just to let everybody know, I am medical aid.
Okay. No, now, because you hate your coworkers and you're a slacker?
Oh, obviously, obviously not.
Right, right.
But I've got some back problems and I got shoulder problems and I got all those problems, okay? And here's the thing is I was doing work assignment.
Okay.
Okay. And they were mandating me every day.
Right.
Well, I'm hurting. So I tell the doctor, the doctor's like, well, then you shouldn't be working all this extra overtime. I said, okay.
Reasonable.
So I go to 8 hours only.
Right.
They mandate me every single day.
Oh, you just got off the overtime list.
I get off the overtime list, the work assignment. I go to 8 hours only.
Right.
So now they just mandate me every day.
Right. Exactly. Okay? And this is that point.
Now, I'm hurting.
Right.
Like really hurting.
Yeah.
So I tell the manager, I say, hey, I went to 8 hours only so that I can get my health back up. You are trying to forcibly hurting me.
Right.
That's how I explain it to the supervisor.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't care. That was their answer.
Yeah. That's
what do you think I did?
You got your medical restriction.
Yes, because I made an appointment to see a doctor.
Yep.
And went to go see a doctor and then got a doctor's note saying I can't work more than 8 hours and 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
And brought that doctor's note and then now I'm medical aid.
This is it because the contract didn't protect you. Mm-hmm. The union didn't protect you. Management doesn't give a shit about you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to protect yourself.
And this is how I protect myself.
Yep. All right. Let's finish out this email. No.
Well, the grievance process and all that. Well, that's a different matter. I could protect myself on that.
Okay? Yeah, but it's not enough.
But it's not worth the fight when it's actually a lot easier to fight when you get a doctor's note.
Yeah, of course. And the fight doesn't give you that time back. It doesn't give you that pain back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's where I think we're failing. I know you and I agree on
that.
And
this is where your health is more important than management's instructions.
Okay? Yeah, no
question. So you got to do what you got to do to protect yourself.
Right. Okay, so we'll finish out the email.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard the BS that we are we are a team at USPS, especially us carriers, and we need to stick together. And we are a union, and we have a union that fights for us. I don't see that nationally or locally. Well, so this is I think the real issue.
Yeah. See, the management loves to try to blame it on other carriers so that we can split apart and fight each other.
Right.
They do that on purpose, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, here's the thing, you know, we always talk about solidarity,
right?
But here's the thing, there's carriers out there, they only care for themselves.
Of course.
Okay. And that's the major problem is that they care to kiss ass or whatever they got to do to get favoritism from management. So they don't get yelled at or they don't get watched because I'm just going to say it, they're chicken shit. Okay. And so they do what they do to try to get favoritism from management. And they follow whatever management says, and they don't like it when stewards file grievances on them and things like that. And
definitely hear those kind of stories.
Yeah. So that's where a lot of the problems happen. I have a story from this morning.
Let's get to that in just a sec.
Okay.
Yep. So this issue, the writer goes on, my local fights first for disciplinary cases, then everything else. And they fight well for them, but when it comes to being mandated, not so much. So this is that frustration, and there's no way that this frustration is unique to this writer, because it's happening around the country. It's obviously happening to more than just this person at their station, and that frustration at the union is reasonably placed, right? The union should be aggressively pursuing this mandating, including insisting that more carriers get hired.
Yeah. So there's many things I want to say on this. Small towns, right?
Uh-huh.
Where the small post office may only have like three city carriers or five city carriers and might have one, maybe two CCAs or one PTF. And so there isn't enough to cover everybody when somebody calls in sick
on
a small place. When you got a total of five people one person calls in, now everybody's
you're hurting.
Make up for that one person.
Right, right.
Okay. So that's where I understand how it's frustrating, but unfortunately, the way the system is set up, and especially in a small town, it's gonna be more of a bitch.
It is. That's not the situation with this carrier, because they did actually call and talk to the carrier.
Oh, okay. See, I don't know that part.
Yeah, that's okay, because it doesn't impact the answer that we're giving, because it's something a lot of people are feeling, the same frustration, and it's worth addressing. So to the last paragraph here, I hope this wasn't too much rambling and makes sense. No, it was fine. Who do I blame besides management? Because they're not completely at fault, in my opinion. What is your opinion? Well, we've been giving our opinion, but just to close it out, who do you blame besides management?
Well,
I don't think you blame anybody besides management.
It's also contract settlement. You know, we've requested a contract to be better for environment for all the carriers.
It's a great point.
And last tentative agreement, it was terrible in helping out carriers.
Right.
And then
it only worked carriers
and
more.
And unfortunately, our current national president gave us the middle finger and then ignored it completely and went through the arbitration like it was nothing.
Right. Yeah. So you can blame management first and foremost, because they're the ones creating the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It's reasonable to also blame the union for not doing more to fight it, you know, and asking them, hey, how come you're not filing more grievances?
Just like
what are you doing to stop it?
Just like before, I blamed the union because they allowed us to have a vehicle with no AC for so long.
Sure. Yeah.
I blame that on our union.
Right. Right. And when Renfro says the beginning purpose of Article 8 is to protect carriers who don't want to work overtime, what the fuck happened to that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so what you don't want to do is blame your fellow carriers who you don't know what their situation is, and maybe they are reasonably trying to have that work-life balance. All right, so that's that one. Tell me what happened today.
Well, so this morning, I get like three carriers came up to me. I say, hey, look over there. There's a supervisor over there. They're sitting there doing nothing.
Okay.
And I look over, and sure enough, there's a supervisor sitting there doing nothing.
I mean, that's not unusual for a supervisor.
With a clipboard and writing on a blank sheet of paper. Okay, so whatever this...
Okay, it's important to the story. Okay. I want to make sure that the listeners understand. Where was the supervisor?
In front of about six cases.
Okay, so the supervisor was like looking at people casing their mail.
Yes.
Just sitting there
with
their clipboard. Okay.
Okay.
All right, got it.
So when three carriers come up to me and said, Michael, hey, the supervisor is doing this. I said, oh, okay. Well, they all come up to me to tell me that because I'm the only one who has the balls to go up to management to tell them, what are they doing? Right?
Sure, it's a legitimate question.
Yeah. So I go, all right, I'll go up there and ask. No problem. So I go up there and say, hey. I said, why are you just sitting there and watching carriers? And the response was, it's none of your business. Go back to your case.
It sounds like something management would say.
Well, you know me. I don't take that as an answer, right?
Right.
So I said, well, I need to know why you're sitting there doing nothing but watching carriers. I need to know.
Right.
And are you counting mail? Are you observing us? What is your plan? That is none of your business. Go case your mail. I said, it is my business. I need to know what exactly you're doing, because if you're observing me, I need to get a copy of that form. If you're doing the count, I don't see you counting. So that means you're not even counting. So therefore, that could be just harassment.
So
I'm not harassing nobody.
Let's dive into this for a second, because it's worth clarifying for newer carriers who may not be following this argument.
Mm-hmm.
So the supervisor is sitting there watching carriers case their mail. Now, there are legitimate reasons why a super might be doing this, one of which is the 1838C.
Which is called a special route count.
Right, where they count your mail in the morning, and then they watch how long it takes you to prepare your mail. It's essentially just a tabulation of all your office work.
So they're supposed to have a copy of the form 1838C in front of them, writing down the times.
Right, the supervisor
and
should have that. Right. And what should the carrier do if the supervisor is going to count their mail?
They're supposed to verify.
That is exactly right. So the carrier should have the opportunity to verify that count. So if this supervisor is sitting there doing an 1838C, then the carrier needs to know that that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go on.
So I said, did you notify the carrier day in advance that you're doing 1838? Mm-hmm. What is it that you're doing?
Right.
Is it none of your business? So one of the carriers decided to speak up, who is an alternate steward.
Okay. Oh, to take up and go after management.
Who's also a CCA.
Uh-huh.
And says, hey, you're bothering me. You need to go back to your case.
Talking to the supervisor or talking to you?
Talking to me. A CCA.
Yeah.
Okay. who's an alternate steward.
It's not the CCA. It's that a steward should be taking up this fight, fighting against you.
Now, See, I'm not a steward right now because, I'm running for president.
Yeah.
And I can only run for one position. So because the re-election is happening, I can be running for steward.
We have talked about that.
We've talked about that.
Right.
And so now when he said that, what do you think I would do?
You're going to push back.
You know me. But when a steward fights for management is when I go a little off the wall.
Yeah. Okay?
And I said, hey, you see, she's violating all these rules. I mentioned the M39 violation because of 1838C, that they shouldn't be doing that on a special account to do it on a CCA. They're supposed to do it on a regular because you need to see the efficiency of the regular that's doing the route to see how it is. That's what it's supposed to be for. And they weren't doing that on a CCA. You can't do that on a CCA, especially on the route is offered bid because the carrier that was on it bid out. There's that violation.
Can you imagine, listener, being a supervisor and having to deal with somebody like Michael?
Oh, yeah.
This is why having stewards and union officers like Michael is so important, because you do not give them any quarter.
No, I do not give them anything.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And so I'm arguing with I yell out from my case. I said, do your job as a steward. They're violating multiple rules. Violating, and then I mentioned the rules, the M39, Section 115.4, the mutual respect, violating the 1838C, because she's not counting any mail. They're violating the Joint Statement of Violence and zero tolerance policy, because sitting there and intimating carriers is also a violation.
Right. Oh, and didn't you then find out that, she was...
There's more.
Okay, all right, I'll let you get to it.
So I'm yelling up for my case, yelling up so that everybody can hear it. So you, as an alternate steward who's running for steward, you should be fighting for us and not management.
That's correct.
So I yelled that out. So needless to say, that guy got real quiet. Okay. And when I yelled that out, the supervisor decided to come and get me. And says, you and I are going to need to have a talk. I said, oh, okay, right. What's this talk about? And she's like, well, you're harassing the carrier. Oh, I'm not harassing the carrier. I'm yelling up for my case, saying that as a steward, they need to do their job because you're violating multiple rules.
Uh-huh.
So if you really want me to say that was spin, let's try and see how far this will go.
Right, because you can make the argument, of course, that you're talking to a union steward about union business.
But also, I was talking up in the air, so I was talking straight to his face.
No, but it's clear who you're talking about.
Okay.
Okay.
So anyway, the other supervisor, who's actually my supervisor, heard what's happening. He goes, no, just go back to your case.
There you go.
Because he knows that if I'm going to sit with a manager, I'll be filling out a 96 thing at any time. He knows it. He told me to go back. I go back, and then I request to see a shop steward now.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Because I request for 30 minutes. They're like, well, we're going to give you 5 minutes. I'm like, well, I need 30 minutes. It would be in violation. I need 30 minutes. But anyway, they give me this tour time. Okay? So I saw the steward, gave her all the stuff of what happened to file that grievance. Okay? But after the fact, I got a copy of that grievance settlement that we got.
Okay.
That actually says, cease and desist using 1838C intimidate or bully other carriers.
This is a previous settlement that you got as a steward.
Back in 2022.
Right, which is precedent setting within your
cease
station.
Cease and desist.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. So I gave that copy to the steward because she's going to need it to file that grievance.
Right.
Guess who else I gave that copy to?
The steward who didn't want to take up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Who was arguing for management.
I gave it to him.
Right. And so now we knew. You found out after the fact, this was 1838C happening.
Yeah.
What about counting of the mail? Tell that part.
Oh, yeah. So, so now I got other carriers coming up to me. Hey, because I'm like, I'm the guy's not, she's not even counting, la da 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 da. And the carrier's like, well, because he counted the mail before he clocked in.
Dude.
So, he did count the mail, but he did it off the clock.
Yeah, that is not okay.
That is definitely not okay.
This is why having someone like Michael who will stand up and give management the business is so important, because now that's a pretty significant violation.
But this is a steward who loves to complain and talk about people on how short the routes are, yet he's going to do stuff off the clock.
Sure. Anyway. Well, good job standing up for your carriers.
I always stand up for my carriers.
Yeah, and not giving management a pass. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we were going to do another mailbag item, but we're already at 30 minutes. And so...
we can do a part two.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do another mailbag episode. But before we get out of here, because the election is tomorrow, as you guys listen to this, this whole process has taken this emotional toll on me. Michael handles it better, at least as far as I can tell. Michael handles it better than I do.
I hide it better.
And that may be the case. But for me... I'm not confrontational by nature. It makes me uncomfortable. And, you know, this having to argue over just basic shit that just read the fucking manual. You know, read the election rules and we don't have to worry about any of this. And why is it a fight just to get you to do shit the right way? And so, go ahead.
I just remember something. Somebody told me that this is something that I heard that our goodest, oldest boy told all the presidents that came after him.
Okay.
Is their number one goal is to hold onto their position. And whatever way possible.
That doesn't surprise me.
That's a rumor I heard.
That doesn't surprise me. So, you know, the latest example is I filed my appeal under Article 11 of the decision that our branch president made that we couldn't run in both elections, in the Stewart election. And so I fill out that appeal, I deliver it to the union hall, and then it has to be, according to Article 11, it has to be read at the next meeting by the recording secretary, which happens to be the goodest oldest boy. Then I hear that the goodest oldest boy isn't going to be at the next meeting. And so as much as I'm a Pollyanna with my rose-tinted glasses on, I'm trying to channel my inner Fred Woodley or my inner Michael Brazenly and think like, all right, what bullshit are they going to pull? And the answer is obvious. They're going to say, oh, the goodest oldest boy isn't here, so we can't read your Article 11 appeal. It's going to have to wait.
Which he said that he'll do it in December.
Well, that was in the same... So I heard that he wasn't going to be there because I saw an email that he had written to someone else who was filing Article 10 charges.
Yes.
And those essentially have the exact same provision that they're read by the branch secretary at the next meeting. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to be at the next couple of meetings, so we'll take care of your charges in December. That's not how that works.
No.
No. And so now I have to try to get ahead of this. And this is the stuff that just sucks the energy that I want to be doing other things.
Yeah. But they're doing that on purpose, hoping that it'll...
Oh, of course. That it'll just go away or kick down the road or whatever. Right. Like the whole idea of preventing us from running in the first place, even if he knew that it was completely wrong, which he had to have known, it doesn't matter. It still prevented us from running. And then it gets kicked down the road and it becomes tomorrow's problem if we have the energy to fight it. And maybe in between, something will change. And like, that's what they keep doing. And so I know like now I'm going to have to waste this fucking energy pinning my branch president down on what are you going to do? How are you going to handle this? Because if he says...
What was his response?
I'll tell you. I did do that. Because if he says, oh, we're going to kick the can down the road, now I'm going to have to...
Contact National.
Yeah, contact National. Get another presidential ruling, which of course is going to go my way. But, you know, fuck. Mm-hmm. And so I tell him, hey, I heard a rumor, because the goodest oldest boy didn't tell it to me. So I heard that the goodest oldest boy isn't going to be at the next meeting. How do you plan on handling the Article 11 appeal? And he writes back with the very helpful answer of, oh, I'll look into that rumor about him not being at the meeting. And that was it. That was his whole answer.
But if you do remember in the bylaws and that the job of the president is to make sure that every position is available when something becomes vacant.
Oh, yeah, and he can fill vacancies, stewards, he can assign duties to people.
Officers, anything. Yeah,
right, so obviously he has the right to assign duties. But this whole, like, he knows the question I'm asking because I put it in fucking bold.
Right.
You know, how are you going to handle this? And he's like, oh, I'll look into the rumor. You motherfucker.
But so I guess he did, right?
Well, yeah, he did, because I wrote back to him, I pressed him. And he finally responded with, quote, I have been told that I have to appoint someone else to read the appeal. And so thank God.
I wonder who told him that.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he wasn't happy about it when he was told that. But at least, you know, now it's going to be handled appropriately at the next meeting. the whole thing is ridiculous that there even has to be concern about it. And so now that he knows what the right thing is,
will he do it?
Will he do it, A, and B, like the Article 10 charges that are allegedly going to wait till December, those are the same goddamn rules.
If he doesn't do it, we still have to go forward with it. Yeah. We don't wait.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And so, dude, it's all this stuff. It's just so taxing, so exhausting. It's such a complete waste. Like, if he would just do the right things, there wouldn't be a conflict at all.
Well, if he did the right thing in the beginning, then we'd have to go through all this either.
Right. I'd still be in the Carrier Academy. Uh-huh. Yep, exactly. And so, dude, and then there were just more... Like, even with National overseeing it, the trustee ballot still got messed up. And then when we finally got our replacement trustee ballots, for some reason, they came in different colors. Like,
yeah. What color? Yeah, we got that too.
Yeah, yours was tan,
it looks
tan,
like it's color-coded.
Right?
Yeah, it's tan or khaki color or whatever.
Yeah, but then some people got orange ones, some people got white ones.
And purple ones.
I didn't hear purple.
Yeah.
Dude, and so, like, what's that all about? It's just... It never ends, dude. And it's so like I smoke cigars. I enjoy a cigar to just sit out back and relax. I've been smoking cigars like almost every day. And I go to extra therapy sessions. I go like every 2 or 3 weeks and I've been having to go weekly. And dude, it's just it's so
very
much.
Taxing.
It is very taxing. But if we win, then this all gets solved. And the culture changes immediately.
Well, the cultures will change, and I'm sure they'll file the appeals.
Wouldn't that be the funniest thing for them to file appeals on their own fuck-ups?
Yeah, that would be funny.
Yeah.
Because it's their own fuck-ups.
Now, the president's girlfriend has a legitimate basis for an appeal, and I would support her appeal to rerun the trustee election.
But it looks like they did it on purpose.
I don't know.
That's what it looks like to me.
It may.
In my opinion,
I don't see it.
That's what it looks like.
But... Regardless, it's a legitimate reason to have to rerun that election. You leave a candidate off, you can't make the argument that it had no impact on the outcome.
Yeah, but how conveniently it's the president's girlfriend who was taken off.
I don't know. I mean, I think you'd say the same thing if it was one of our endorsed, one of the people we endorsed, if it was Jonathan.
Yeah, but again, that is something that's major, especially this is on a rerun.
Yeah, that's the
problem. How do you make that mistake on a rerun?
I know. Because the mistake that they actually made, the people from National, was not giving anyone the opportunity to check the ballots before they went out, which is in the goddamn election rules.
Right. It's just one after another, after another, after another.
It's too much.
Yeah.
So anyway.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
I know it's being very taxing, but we still got to do what we got to do.
Oh, yeah.
If we don't.
Yeah, we're still
Then they're going to keep doing whatever they're doing.
Yeah, that's
and
exactly
is the,
right.
And is that the union we want?
No. We're going to push for the bylaws to be respected and the Constitution and the election rules. Yeah, we're going to keep fighting. So we'll find out Wednesday night, and then we'll probably do a very special episode.
Afterwards.
And, dude, who knows how late that meeting's going to run.
Right. Well, it won't be that night we're going to do the podcast.
No, probably not. But anyway, so we'll let you guys know. And thank you all for listening. Thank you for the support. I love getting the emails that say, like, you know, that you're rooting for us to win the election.
Yes, thank you very much.
And, yeah, that means a lot to us. And by all means, keep those emails coming in. Keep the corrections coming in. And thank you guys for listening.
Oh, and for those who forgot to send a ballot, and, you know, maybe if you want to spend the extra money, send it Express. And, you know, then maybe they'll get it on time.
Yeah, maybe so. Dude, that'd be pretty extreme.
I hope you already sent it in.
Well, no, dude, because it'd have to be there by 9 a.m., because they're pulling the ballots at 9 a.m. I think even then it's too late.
If you do the express mail tomorrow morning, you should be there by the next morning.
But tomorrow morning, this is coming out tomorrow morning.
Oh, right.
So it's too late.
So let's say it comes out tomorrow morning, right?
Yeah, it comes out Tuesday morning.
So they send it as express Tuesday morning. You should be there by Wednesday morning. One day express.
I wouldn't count on express, dude. Not from... It's a nice thought.
At least
thought.
Try.
Yeah, it's a nice
all
thought.
I ask.
Yeah, I think you'd be
but
better
in reality,
off.
I hope you all sent it in already.
Yeah, you better have sent it in already. All right, guys. So thank you very much for listening, and we will catch you all next time.